Hi, it's Lisa and Pete, and on today's Catch Up.
WA Police, they don't get workers' compensation. Can you believe it?
No.
We talked to George Tilbury and David Bentley from the police union to find out why.
We find out what you used to spend your pocket money on.
And Justin Hamilton, our TV and movie reviewer, is going to give first dates a once-over.
You know Lisa and Pete are on the radio weekday arvos, and you know Perth summers can be dangerous. Be prepared for bushfire season. Visit understandinsurance.com.au. This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth. On Mix 94.5.
What did you spend your pocket money on?
Well, the only apples we spent it on was toffee apples, usually at the school, you know, fete.
And how good were they?
Good. Mm. Crash either.
Kylie in Rockingham, hello.
Hello.
Kylie, what did you spend your pocket money on? Kids now, they spend it all tech.
I know. It's terrible. It's terrible. No, you know what I think was great? And I'm kind of saying, Lisa, you got away with it quite easy. I used to have to do the dusting every single Saturday morning because it was Mum's hated job.
Right.
For my $2 a week, which was lollies and Coke. Because do you remember the yo-yos?
Yeah.
That were the Coke, Fanta, and Sprite.
Absolutely. Yeah.
How awesome were they?
They were awesome. Oh. Did you have
No, go. It gets all exciting, doesn't it?
Dusting is terrible. Because did they have a lot of knickknacks?
Oh,
dusting
did
around
I
the
have
knick-knacks.
Oh, geez. But no, do you know what my favourite was? Remember when the Cabbage Patch dolls just came out?
Yeah.
And I couldn't afford one. They were really expensive.
Yeah.
So I got a lettuce kid.
A lettuce kid?
A lettuce kid doll. Because it was the cheap knockoff.
Oh, for God.
And it was awesome. And my aunt made clothes and I felt very special, but it was all of like, I don't know. I mean, back then it was $9.99.
Oh, yeah. One more question while we're reminiscing. Did your mum have a duster box and it was everyone's old knickers and things?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
You see? Now, Peter's sitting there, I know, with the rolling
dice, having
no idea what we're talking about.
No, he's out there spending $5 on a duster.
Not a roll in my eyes. I'm just Googling what it was like back in the 1950s.
It was fabulous.
Oh, God. It's jealousy.
Thanks, Kylie.
What a ripper, Kylie. Thank you. Leanne in Forestfield, what did you spend your pocket money on?
Well, we used to have to help out around the house and I'd get 20 cents a week.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go down on a Saturday morning or a Friday afternoon after school and go down to the local deli.
Mm-hmm.
And I would spend 5 cents on a big bag of mixed lollies.
Mm-hmm.
You used to get like 5 Chicos for a cent and three smarty ones for Smarties for a cent.
And,
and it was just a bag was just overflowing. And then I'd get a twin pole as well for 5 cents.
Oh.
And I'd actually split it sometimes and either give one to my friend or whoever was with me. I'd take the other half home and freeze it for later.
Oh, fantastic.
And then 10 cents went in my piggy bank.
Two things there. One, the twin pole, amazing. And two, the corner deli. The corner deli was just the bastion of where you would spend your pocket
money.
There
was none of Leanne's lolly bag already made up and not knowing what's in there.
No, you went to
I'll
a window.
I'll have one of those. I'll have two of those. I'll have three. No.
Exactly.
One, two. Yeah. And there was no lolly rage.
Mm.
You waited.
No lolly rage.
Yeah, you might have taken a while to get you back.
Good stuff, Leanne. Thank you.
No worries.
Over the last couple of weeks, you might have heard on the Lisa and Pete show that we've been brought to you by the WA Police Union with a very special message about getting pledges for WA Police to receive workers' compensation if they are hurt on the job, which blew our minds, Lise, that it doesn't happen here for policemen.
You know, a lot of things make me think we're on some sort of intergalactic candid camera every day, Pete. This,
mm-hmm.
When I heard about this, I thought I'd never even given it a thought because I would have thought that was just a no-brainer. The police would be the number one people entitled to workers' comp. They're out there taking all sorts of things for the team, for us.
Mm-hmm.
They're not paid enough. At least you'd think we would look after them should they get hurt. Or
absolutely.
Anything.
Well, for more on this, we're joined now by George Tilbury, who's the president of the WA Police Union, and David Bentley, who's the president of the Medically Retired Western Australian Police Officers Association. Thanks for joining us today, guys.
Thanks for having
us. Pleasure.
Thank you.
George, can you talk us through what the catalyst for this was in the beginning and how long you've been fighting for police workers' compensation?
Police officers in Western Australia are the only ones that do not have workers' compensation coverage.
Out of the whole country?
Out of the whole country. And when you speak to anyone out on the street, they are in total disbelief.
Two things that's wrong with it. First of all, no one's going to want to be a police officer, so we won't attract any good people to the role for the future. Mm-hmm. And for the past, we are just letting people just fall by the wayside when we're finished with them, like a greyhound or something. That's why you started this up, isn't it? The sort of support for medically retired police officers.
There are no supports out there for medically retired police officers. We're just cast aside, we're abandoned, and we are forgotten.
Just on that, what is the definition of a medically retired police officer?
All right, a medically retired police officer is one who's been served with a loss of confidence by the Commissioner of Police under Section 8 of the Police Act. And that effectively says that he has lost confidence in the ability of me to perform my duty, in my integrity and in my effectiveness. And that's the same section that he actually used to sack corrupt and criminal police officers. So we're tarred with the same brush as criminal police officers, unfortunately. Wow, okay. And all we've done, our crime, serving the community and get sick doing our job.
So could that be like you could hurt your back in the line of duty and it could be an issue that way? Or is it more a psychological effect or all of the above?
It's a combination of everything. Yeah. And this is the concern for us, is that every police officer that's currently serving, there's a pretty good system that looks after them. But any job you attend, something could go wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
And if it does go wrong and you're injured in the line of duty and can no longer be a police officer, you're cast aside and thrown on the scrap heap. That is appalling and needs to change.
Well, when I concur. Say to Colin Barnett, excuse me, why are we the only ones? What do they say?
The politicians haven't been able to deal with the issue, and both sides have been in government over the last 35 years that this has been an issue in this state, to do something about it, and they haven't. And this is why we're calling on the community of Western Australia to support us and go online to itstoughenough.com.au, support a petition that we have in place, and we will serve the petition on the government of the day and also lobby the opposition, because we need bipartisan support to get this changed.
David, I'm just curious to know, just to put a picture in people's minds, what are some of the things that you experienced on the front line that led to you being discharged as a medically retired officer?
I joined the police force because my grandfather was a policeman back in the UK and he served the public. He said it was a good job. Mm. And I thought I'd like to do something along those lines too. And I still believe that it's probably one of the best jobs in the world. What occurred for me was not too indifferent from most police officers. You go out and you deal with the good feely stuff where you can go and help somebody when something gets lost or the house gets broken and provide support. But predominantly my career was spent in the crash investigation section. Oh. So you're dealing with people who have been through all sorts of carnage. You're dealing with the victims, you're dealing with the families. And sometimes you're dealing with your own officers who have been to these things and have gone through breakdowns as well. My own story was one of getting ill over a number of years and not realising what was wrong with me. You get
take it all anxiety. On board. Everyone's, anxiety.
I don't believe there's a single police officer in anywhere in the world who does not suffer some sort of a psychological impact from the job that they do because of the nature of the work they do and the hours they work and the pressures that they're under. This sort of impact is devastating on you and it creeps up on you. It crept up on me. I didn't realise I was sick until I actually walked in one day and thought, I can't do this anymore.
Mm.
And I walked out and I never went back. Then followed treatment by psychiatrists, psychologists, lots of medications of different things. And it's taken me 9 years to get back to where I am now, where I can actually speak up for people. And yep. It's only through helping other people that I've actually come back to work to do this important thing now.
All right, so it's the Tough Enough campaign. Get out there, support it, Google it, check it out. We'll put the details up through our socials as well. But George Tilbury and David Bentley, a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your stories.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Please be advised the following radio segment is designed for people who have televisions, people who watch television programs in their homes, on their computers, or on electric telephone devices. Lisa and Pete would like to remind you this isn't just Talkin' Telly, this is Justin Hamilton. Talkin' Telly.
Hello, and what telly are we talking?
Well, before we get into that, we have covered a lot of shows, not only this year, but over the past 9 years. And it's really not uncommon to be watching something and having a sense of deja vu. So whether it's Manu and not Manu, filling their faces full of food, or Scott Cam reminding me why I hate being stuck with people talking about their renovations, I can often feel like I'm trapped in suspended animation, watching the same shows with the same production values year after year. Mm. And I was experiencing this exact feeling watching First Dates when I realised we've already seen it this year. Like, it was on earlier this year, and it's back at the end of the year. And I'm like, who out there was saying we need two seasons of this?
Oh, yeah.
Pete was.
Yeah.
Right. Was it?
I'm so sorry.
It's you.
I put my hand up. I lobbied.
Sorry, not sorry.
I sent letters, emails.
That was you? Yeah. All right. Well, as long as I know who it is, I'm actually more comfortable with that because I was sitting there, really freaked me out for a moment because about halfway through it, I thought, oh, I've already seen this. And then I was like, oh, no, I haven't. Oh, anyway, look.
And then there was Roxy.
And then there was Roxy. Holy moly.
We spoke to Roxy last week.
Yeah, it's your fault, Pete.
It's my fault.
Yeah. Is she all right? Is she okay?
No, she's not.
Something very unusual going on there. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, if Packer and Mariah Carey can't get it together, who can, right?
Well, I know. But everyone deserves love, even Roxy.
You know when you get that feeling where you just want to stab your eye with a pen?
Yes.
Yeah, that's talking to Roxy.
Yeah, right. Well, that would explain.
I'm trying to work out if that's what she did to her. There's a weird look that comes from under those eyebrows.
Look, for everyone listening, if you can't work out how this show works, first dates pretty much takes two people who have never met and they go on a date. And you can imagine how this
is sold.
And they film
it for us to pick apart.
And they film it, right? So you can imagine how this was sold at the boardrooms at Channel 7. The idea would have been thrown out at 11:55 a.m., rubber stamped at 11:56 a.m., and down in the lobby for lunch by midday. So they love to belabor a metaphor with this show. Do you like that, Pete? I like a belabored metaphor.
I love a belabored metaphor.
Belabored metaphor is the horse I rode to the 2013 Melbourne Cup, if you remember correctly, as well. But, you know, a nice pop of champagne after a woman talks about how they want their man to be well endowed, well played. Oh. How about a guy who likes to talk about a lot of sex followed by a train entering a tunnel, or a woman saying she wants kids so we can cut to a plate with a sausage and two eggs? Not obvious enough. Come on. Just make it more belabored. This time around, we met some fascinating people like Lisa, a 35-year-old self-described MILF. Who stated that she is indeed pretty sexy.
Yes.
And you know what I find to be the least sexy aspect of a person? Somebody who tells me they're pretty sexy.
Yes.
It's up there with someone who tells you they're zany.
Or eccentric.
Eccentric. Oh, I'm eccentric. It's like, nah, you just wear different coloured socks because
we'll
you're colourblind. Yes, thank you. Luckily, Lisa was hooked up with Ryan, who stated that because he's been in the Special Forces of the Army, he's a real-life James Bond. So I figured that meant he was a misogynist with a drinking problem riddled with STDs. But it turned out he's not that realistic. He's more emotionally like James Bond, I guess. You know what I think would actually make this show great? I think they concentrate on the wrong people. Don't concentrate on the people having the date. Let's mic up the staff.
Yes! Oh. The guy that makes the cocktails.
Yes.
What he says with an eyebrow. I want to hear what he's thinking.
Oh, I want to hear what he's thinking.
Well, apparently, like Greg, the producer, was telling us that apparently the UK or the US version of the show, they're all mic'd up.
Really?
Yeah, so you see.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Look, I know you loved it, Pete, but first dates, Channel 7, 7:30 p.m. Tuesdays. No thumbs needing another season this year.
Oh.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5. Prepare yourself for more Lisa and Pete, weekday arvos from 4. And prepare for bushfire season with a free checklist at understandinsurance.com.au.